Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast on the Transcontinental Race number 8. Supported by our race partners, Apadura, Physique, Hutchinson, Kinesis, Komoot, LEM Helmets, and Pedaled. I'm Tom Probert. I've raced the previous three editions of the TCR, but this year I'll be following the race across Europe to bring you all the stories from the heart of the action. Welcome to the Italian Alps. It's approaching midnight and a storm is rumbling across the distant mountaintops. Lightning silhouettes the craggy peaks. This is what lies in wait for riders approaching Control Point 2, the gateway to Passo Gavia.
Grazie.
Prego, se non sono americani abbastanza, c'è l'acqua calda e l'espresso doppio.
Grazie.
The control point is in a hotel in the heart of Santa Caterina, a ski town nestled amongst imposing peaks. The room is set up ready to welcome riders, an empty list waiting for the first name to be inked. Volunteers have come from far and wide, but for one in particular, this is part of a long cycling pilgrimage.
I'm Santi, I'm from Uruguay, South America. I'm a voluntary on the checkpoint number 2. Yeah, stamping and recording the times of the racers. I'm traveling since 2 months around Europe, matching like cycling events. I made like the European Cycle Messenger in Bremen, Mogas, that is a even that is a one day ride but 3 passes, Mortirolo, Gavia, and Stelvio. The Tour de France, some stages. And then I come back here to Gavia. And I'm sleeping outside since 2 months. And now I'm in a super luxury restaurant having breakfast. And yeah.
And have you had any races come through yet?
The three first ones. Yeah. We were so excited that they're coming in the middle of the night, in the so cold. So I stay awake like just to wait them. And I'm not sleeping since one day.
And how was it when they came in last night?
Amazing. Amazing.
Thanks for staying awake for me.
The dot watching has been feverish throughout the night as the front three trade places. At 3:30 a.m, the first rider arrives, grinding up the hotel's cruelly steep entrance ramp. It's Ulrich.
How are you feeling?
Fresh as daisy.
Oh yeah. Want to go for a dance?
Thank you, mate. Yeah, I bet. Oh, great pleasure to do this. So, 3 days.
5 hours.
5 hours.
24 minutes.
24 minutes. That is an unbelievable effort. Unbelievable.
How long is...
Adam.
The next guy?
No, the other.
Ah.
Who is already here?
No, you're the first one here.
What?
You're the first one here. No one else is here yet. You're the first.
Robin is sleeping
in Bormio.
Why?
Ulrich, you're number one.
Bro.
Yeah.
I didn't saw that. I was so cold in Bormio.
Yeah.
And I didn't even. I was like all the time before the Umbrae.
Yeah.
I was simply hoping he's going to stop, because then I will stop as well, and if both stop, Adam will stop as well.
So yeah, yeah.
I thought just the first has to make the move.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was so cold in Bormio that I didn't even check.
How cold was the descent on the Umbra?
I had the down jacket,
okay.
This jacket, the rain jacket. I had everything on, and even the long gloves, and I was still shivering. Since the last control point, a lot has changed due to my knee. It's like fully taped, and had some really bad times where I wondered if and how to continue at all. So that's why I'm pretty happy to be here at all. And today in the morning, I met Robin for like a 30 minutes chat, and then he like disappeared because he was so much faster. And I said, yeah, well, I'm making my way a bit slower. And he said something like, yeah, well, I will use the chance and just go for it. And he pedaled away. And it was basically like this all the day. The guys were somewhere in front, which is absolutely normal because especially on the flat parts, I was so slow, so slow.
Is it improving? Is there any way you can manage that knee? What's your plan?
I don't know. Just keep going. I mean, I somehow learned to accept the pain, which is always there when I'm pedaling. Then it hurts really like someone is putting an old rusty knife like doosh into your knee.
As we're talking, Adam Bielek arrives at the hotel.
There's Adam.
Yeah.
He's looking way more sporty up the ramp here. Damn. Damn. He's a crazy fit guy.
Yeah. Wait, you're a crazy fit guy.
I'm not sure. I'm a bit scared of him.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Well done, man. Awesome effort. Well done. Amazing. You two are unbelievable.
Thank you.
Just
how's the battle been between you and Ulrich and Robin?
I mean, what the hell is going on? Who could ever imagine that we can keep up such a high pace and stay together the whole time? I mean, it's almost impossible.
The question I have is, where the f*** Robin shaved off this 1 hour? I absolutely don't get it. I don't know.
I mean, I was struggling today on my way from Munich to the Alps. I was really slow.
Okay.
So I can imagine that he was much faster than me. Mm-hmm. And had perhaps a better route than me. Yeah. Today I had massive problems with my stomach. It slowed me down quite a bit, but yeah, after 1, 2, or 3 hours, it got better. I was able to eat and drink as usual, and yeah, was able to keep up the pace.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I'm tired and exhausted and all of that, but good to go.
Have you been forced to change your plan because of being pushed by these guys?
No, I don't change my plan. I'm trying to find my own pace, more or less. Of course, I'll check the tracker here and there to see where the other guys are. But at this point of the race, from my point of view, it doesn't make any sense to try to get away or something. Because we have still a tough road decision to make, and this will also be deciding in the end. Today in the morning, I met Ulrich and the other guy, Robin, for the first time ever. So we just briefly met, had a quick conversation, then we were already split apart.
Have you been watching them on the tracker to see when they're sleeping and things like that?
Yeah, today in the morning I checked, or before I got to bed, I checked, and I saw that I have a bit of advantage, but I went to bed really late, so I expected them to start earlier than me, and they did. But I managed to snug in between them somewhere, and then we met at some point. Yeah.
What's your plan now after this control point?
Well, probably the best thing to do would be to catch some sleep. Climbing up to Gavia now doesn't make too much sense. At Umbrai already it was super cold and foggy and really unpleasant. So I don't want to experience the same at the next one.
How was the descent down from Umbrai? Was it cold?
Oh man, it was horrible. I froze off everything and barely could move at the bottom in Bormio. So the best thing to do is to keep going to get warm again. So, and here I am.
You're gonna stay here at the control?
If there's some space to have an hour or two of sleep, I will stay here. But otherwise I look for another spot outside.
We can even share a room. I will definitely get a room. Want to have a shower.
Is there still somebody here from the hotel?
Yeah.
If you get a double room, I'll take it.
The two leaders of the TCR stand side by side in front of the lifts, waiting to go up to their shared room. Ulrich's door opens first, and he enters the lift with a slender time advantage.
So I'm doing as I was hoping, so not destroying myself, starting a little bit slower, now increasing.
Later that day, Cap 100, Christoph Strasser arrives. So far on the race, he's been relaxed and jovial, hovering inconspicuously around the top 10. But now there's a new urgency to him, and a sense he's shifting to a new phase of his plan.
Finding my rhythm, and hopefully I can climb up in the positions, in the rankings, a little bit more, but the first, I think, three guys, they are like completely crazy.
Do you think you can catch them up by the end?
Not if they do not slow down, but I'm not sure if they can keep their speed because they do not sleep a lot, I think. They are not slowing down, so if they slow down, I hope to be there, but if they do not slow down, nobody can catch them.
Are you surprised at how fast they go?
Yes.
Yeah.
And with how many of the bike time they have,
yeah,
I'm very surprised. Do you know, is there a bar or something?
Because
I didn't find like a small supermarket, should be there, but didn't find it.
I find Christoph up in the hotel bar, his heavily sponsored black and yellow kit jarring amongst the relaxed atmosphere of holidaymakers enjoying their lunch. This is a pit stop, and the woman behind the bar temporarily becomes part of his pit crew.
Three. And what do you have to eat? Like a panini or something? Panini.
Toast.
To take away.
One.
Yeah, but it's
small one.
No. Just now and take away. Not making it hot.
Not toasted.
No.
Okay. One or two.
Two.
You find it difficult to get enough.
They don't understand what it means to make it fast.
Yeah.
They want you to sit down. This is a f***ing bike race, not a gourmet journey.
hurry up.
In my supported racing, we are extremely fast. We do not waste any minutes in the short stops, in the short breaks, but doing it completely alone, being self-organized, having all your luggage in the small bags, finding everything in a very short time, it's very complicated.
Can I have something?
No, I eat it. It's a bike race. No, just give it to me. Thank you. Yes, perfect. no bags.
How many people have been here before me?
12. You're number 13.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's quite cool.
For many riders, control points represent a safe haven and respite from the rigours of the road. After a traumatic night, Fiona Kolbinger seemed to relish the chance to share her experience with the volunteers.
So basically, I checked out a sleeping place. I had a hard time finding one, so I wanted to go to this Czech town, Žatec, and it seemed like a good distance, and I just wanted to find a place there. Mm. I had a look at different ATMs, and there were a couple, but I thought, the weather is so nice, I should just, continue, like, sleep outside, and the roof is not that important. And then I saw this skate park with a half pipe, and I thought, this would be a good installation. I can show you as well. And I put my stuff on this half pipe, and then I even locked my bike to one of these stems, and then, this was how I slept. Yeah. And basically then I always take off all my clothes when I sleep, my shorts and my jersey. And I put it here, right next to my thighs maybe. So, and I slept on my belly and the stuff was here. And stupid me didn't take out the documents out of my rear pocket. So the jersey was, I took it off, I put it completely as it was next to me. So I didn't have it in my sleeping bag as professionals would do it. You see, I'm not yet a sleeping pro. Then it turned out not to be the warmest night. And so I lay down at around 11 p.m. And then at about 1 in the morning, I became a bit, I seemed to wake up because it was cold underneath, this metal thing was quite cold. And then I thought, okay, now it's time to move to an ATM. I was already a bit annoyed because moving sleeping place is not ideal, right? So my phone was on my power bank in the hood of the sleeping bag. So I kind of clicked on this, and then it was half asleep still. And then once I entered ATM, I just suddenly noticed someone running from about here straight across the skate park. So I was like, huh? What's going on at 1 o'clock in the morning? Someone sprinting over a skate park? What's like, and how, why were you so close to me? And I was looking around, and then I noticed my whole jersey, everything. I mean, I have a lot of stuff in here, headphones, earplugs, lipstick thing, and all of this was out of the pockets. Whoever it was took everything out. It was and some things were I immediately understood what had happened, and then I kind of checked what was gone, and then I noticed the purse was gone, and three melted Snickers bars and chewing gum. Yeah, then I kind of quickly put all my stuff together, and I was what do you do now, really? I mean, it's 1 o'clock in the morning in the middle of Czech nowhere. I mean, it was a city, but so I was at this main road, and I pondered about going to an ATM, but I don't have a credit card, so what to do with this night, right? So then a police car came by. I was waving crazy, and I was explaining the situation to them. They were you need to report it at police. And there is a police station in town, you can go there. So I went to this police station first thing. And after about 30 to 40 kilometers, I thought I'd check the tracker. So where are the other guys? Maybe I have even an advantage because I started so early, I don't know. And then I noticed tracker is missing. I didn't ping at all since 30 kilometers or so. And then I just quickly checked in my in my top tube bag where I usually kept the tracker, and it wasn't there. And I remember that when I went to bed on this thing, I left it open, the compartment with the tracker in it. And when I woke up in the next morning, I hadn't seen it. So I kind of it must have gone as well. So I need this tracker for the race, right? So I cycled back to Jatetz, back to the exact 30K. Place, 30-40K. It was 3:30, nobody else was awake in the field, nobody had overtaken me at that point. Okay, so I cycled back, checked about 6 or 7 bins, with my phone, lighting inside, nothing. And then I thought, okay, there is really nothing else I can do than just keeping cycling. I, of course, messaged Anna or the organization. But I had a good day yesterday. I had a really good day today. So
that obviously cost you a lot of time and it cost you a lot of sleep as well, presumably. Did it also change your kind of focus on the race and your mentality?
No, not the focus on the race. I mean, a bit, of course. I'm still here and hanging around with you for 10 more minutes. I'm actually waiting for a shower to pass because it started drizzling, so I was hoping that there would be a massive shower and then everything would be back. Actually, the one thing that is most important about this thing is I have always loved sleeping outside. I haven't done it excessively. I have maybe slept outside 15 to 20 times in a race or ride context, in a sleeping bag, as I did that night. Nothing ever happened. This is the first thing that ever gave me a bad experience of sleeping outside alone. And so far, I was always very confident and believed in the good in humans and thought that, I'm just a stinky cyclist. Nobody will come and rob me, right? And now this happened. So it's a bit, I'm still not sure about what this actually changes, but I'm quite sure my decision to sleep in a hotel yesterday night and to sleep in a hotel this night is a bit based on this. And I don't know if I will sleep outside in the Balkans alone. I have to say I was quite frustrated with this experience making my cycling so significantly different, because I now think twice about where I sleep. I think twice about will other people see me, people were passing, and
But you had a better day today.
Yes, today was great. Yeah.
Now you've got the rest of the Gabia to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hopefully not in the rain.
And you still have your passport.
Yeah, I'm so lucky. Look, I had, for whatever reason, I took both my ID card and my passport with me. So this is the only reason why I can, or the only thing that gives me the chance to continue now, mm-hmm. right? Because in the Balkans, I really will need something.
Yeah.
And also, I was really lucky that I put the brevet card to the passport and not into this purse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, think about, the person could have just taken the entire jersey or my pants as well. And that would have been a very strange encounter with the police in Jatetz, right? Someone showing up in a dress made of a sleeping bag and explaining to them that they were on a bike race and sleeping outside in a skate park and everything was stolen. That was my story.
Hello, Tom here. Just to say, if you're enjoying this, you might want to check out our daily podcast where TCR veterans Karen Tosti, Becky Waters and Rob Quirk react to the latest race action and share some of their ultra cycling stories. It's worth subscribing to so you get the most up-to-date race action as it comes out, and feel free to rate the pod and leave a review while you're there.
Yep. I'm Joseph Dorset, Cap 165. I've just arrived at CP2. A bit smoked, triple cooked.
Did you actually go over Stelvio?
Stelvio last night. It was super sketchy. Probably my sketchiest moment ever on a bike. It was just way too cold. And there was lightning and thunderstorms, and going down was much worse than coming up.
And what was the thinking of going over Stelvio?
Well, I don't know, just route planning. I don't know, probably not the best route, but it was kind of a rushed, making of the route in the end. So I probably made a couple of mistakes. I think my total route is 4,270 kilometres or something, so probably on the longer side. And then yeah, decided to go up the Selvio instead of, you know, waiting, because it wasn't raining at the time. And then, like, 1K up, like, all the heavens opened, and voila.
And did you just keep riding, or did you take
Yeah, yeah, kept riding, because there's nothing to do, really. Because at the moment, as soon as you stopped, you're just, like, yeah, too cold. And, I mean, I was shaking on the way up. And then I wasn't looking forward to the way down already, going up. And then, my lights malfunctioned. So my main light broke about halfway up. And then had to switch to the secondary light. Just completely cooking my brakes. And then, had to stop in the first tunnel on the way down. Started doing jumping jacks and sprinting up the hill in my cleats just to get warm. But I was still, like, just literally just, you know, shaking. And then, put my light on charge for, like, 5-10 minutes. And then, went down, descended the rest. And, found a hotel, lucky enough. Key on the side, door open. And then got a hotel room for the night. It works in mysterious ways. Like, had, like, probably the perfect storm. Like, the worst time, worst conditions, the worst time to actually go up the Stelvio. And then, lucked out with a nice hotel room at the end and just stayed in the shower for like 20 minutes getting a hot shower.
Cap 24, my name's Lizzie. Today's been really good because yesterday was not that good because of the rain. And also I love the fact that there's kind of like a bottleneck, you see everyone. Because otherwise it's like you're just doing this really long ride by yourself. So
have you had that moment where like you haven't seen anyone for ages?
The first few days, yeah. And there was a few times where I was like, am I going the right way? Like I've not seen anyone. But yeah, it makes a real difference. There's a few guys that I've seen quite a lot. So each day from now is the longest I've ever ridden, like in this short space of time, and that was the biggest climb I've ever done. Two biggest climbs I've ever done in my life in the same day. So
how did you decide to do this then? What kind of goes to that?
I read Emily Chappell's book and was like, oh, that's really cool. Like if she could do it, like, oh, maybe I could do it as well. And then I was sort of thinking about it. And then when I saw Fiona winning, I was like, oh wow, like women actually can do quite well in this kind of event because it's sort of a level playing field. So yeah, then I signed up. I mean, I wildly underestimated it, like seriously. Even the preparation was a bit like overwhelming, but yeah, get in there.
Oh, you're doing really well.
Thank you.
No issues with trying to get the cutoff for these control points.
We'll see how the next one goes.
Right.
Yeah. I've not done, the last 2 days, I've done less mileage than I thought I would have because I didn't really factor in the elevation. So I feel like I've got a bit of catching up to do. But I feel like once you're near the end, you can get away with riding through the night because you don't care at that point. I mean, again, I was a bit ambitious. I didn't really know how hard it was going to be. So, 300, easy, you say. And then... I've not really stuck to that. I've done some longer ones, so I've probably averaged that for now. I've just been stopping a lot, so I think that's eats into the time. So hopefully, going forward, now I'm in the swing of it, and now I understand that it's almost like stoking a fire, like with your body when you feel really shit, you just chuck some more food in and then you sort of balance out again. So I'm sort of learning now what works and what doesn't and just maintaining it. It's quite fun being feral though. I've quite enjoyed that part.
What about that have you enjoyed?
Just because you do stuff that like lying on like in on a car park floor with like trying to eat. Or just, I guess it's things that would just never happen in normal life or wouldn't be acceptable. But because you're in this bubble and because you're like tired, you can do it.
Is Is it okay if I record you?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah? Okay. What do you have to say?
I've heard that you've become a fan of the race and watching with us.
They give me a t-shirt.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Reports had begun to emerge from the control point volunteers of a super keen dot watcher visiting during the night to meet riders and just chat about the race.
So, hi, I'm Luca, and I'm the night guard of Hotel Tre Signori, the second checkpoint of this amazing race. I was very surprised that, every competition, every race has the prize at the end, like, okay, I have to win because the prize. I said, what is the prize? No prize. Hello? What? No, they only do for glory, for be famous, or just because for the experience, the journey, the travel. And wow, I said, wow. I can feel, it's like a little metaphor of the life, like, you know, the journey. And it's amazing because every day we are traveling. Even the simple trip, like homework, work home, is a travel because you never know what happens. Yeah. It's always life is always a challenge. And I can understand that they're facing a very great challenge, and I wish them the best luck.
So have you been following the race on the
watching the dogs? on the big screen? I don't know if I can say for who I'm rooting for. I don't know. I rooted for the number 50, Ulrich, because was the first one who arrived here and seemed very, very focused on his race. And I hope he's will be doing great.
So have you met some of the riders when they've come in?
Yeah, I met, of course, Ulrich and Adam. Yeah. Another rider in the middle of the night was coming for maybe a coffee, have a just small break, rest. And I talked to them because I said I'm very emotional. But I don't know. It's like I'm doing the race as well because... The reason the bikers want to do this race. Mm-hmm. It's like, for somehow it's just, I want to face myself, go out from my comfort zone. And others are, I just want to win, I don't know. Others, I see the possibility of doing a big trip with my bike from Belgium to Bulgaria, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I want to do it. So every aspect, every shade of this race is different. It's amazing to know well and be aware of this competition.
Yeah. And so do you think you would want to do this race one day?
Maybe let me first learn how to ride a bike, then let's see if if I'm brave enough.
Mike Hall bursary recipient Amre Kuna was the third woman to arrive at CP2. Sporting an eye-catching pair of leopard print leggings and looking very fresh considering the grueling climb she'd just completed.
Better than on day three.
What was day three?
That was when I still had to finish the parkour.
But it's his own tracker.
And I had all those really, really steep ramps in the morning. And then it started raining. And I was just in a really bad mood. And
Do you sleep last night?
Yes. Yeah. I slept for the first time inside, which was really nice.
Oh, nice.
Had a first hot shower, washed everything.
Yeah.
I had 5 hours of sleep. That was really nice. I had 3.5 the night before, so it was really necessary, I think, to just sleep a bit more.
Yeah. Did you feel that you were starting to slow down a bit or get tired?
Yeah, and also my body was just reacting weirdly. Like, I got all those rashes from wearing my bibs for like 5 days or 4 days without having a shower. and now everything is like clean and nice and freshly creamed, so it's not bad anymore.
Do you enjoy getting into the mountains?
Yes, I love the Alps, so I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad that we're leaving tomorrow. No, today probably. Yeah.
Enjoying the climbing.
Yeah, quite. But I have to say, with all the luggage, it's quite different to when I normally do it. Four bags, just for fun.
Affecting you at all, or have you kind of got used to it now?
I just have to stand up more on my bike, but I think I got used to it.
How's all the bike setup and all the kit? Any problems with anything?
Really good. Yeah, I don't think I have anything useless apart from my really warm jacket, but I was already wearing it once, so I'm quite fine. I'm quite good. Yeah. I kind of stupidly fell off my bike, but nothing happened yesterday. Just like on a small path. Kind of hurt my ankle a bit. It's a bit swollen, but it doesn't affect anything, so it's good.
What happened with that?
I just got onto a really small path, and it was all like gravel. And I thought, shit, I'm not going to do it. I went to the grass bit on the side, but there was a hole. So just stuck in the hole. I was quite slow, but I still fell over the bike, and then the bike just landed on my ankle. But it's not too bad. Yeah.
Okay.
It looks really weird. It's like a little bubble. A small hill on my ankle.
Okay.
But it doesn't hurt. Yeah.
Have you had any other problems along the way?
Not really. I had a bit like gearing problems, but all of them are solved, so yeah.
Great. Yes. And I think you're third woman into the control.
Nice.
Have you been looking at the tracker?
I was looking from time to time, but I stopped looking yesterday. Like, yeah. Because I think I have no idea what the route is going to be like for the next 2 or 3 days, and if my route is longer or steeper or whatever, then it doesn't really matter for me where I am. I just want to do the ride and be able to finish it, and then I'm very happy.
Yeah.
Yes.
What position have you arrived here in?
27th.
Yes.
Can you see you're on there?
Is that kind of what you're expecting? I mean, that's a really great position at this stage.
Well, I started at CP1 with position 41. So I'm not too sad about my positioning now, of course, yeah.
Should be proud.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. But I should get on riding, actually. Otherwise it's going to get late.
You're in a race.
I'm in a race, yes. Hi. Okay, thank you all for being here. See you on...
Have a good ride.
Checkpoint.
Where
is your next one? 3. You all going to be there?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Many of the Control Point volunteers are also riders themselves. The team at Control Point 2 know what it's like to arrive as a tired racer, and they're using their experience to provide this year's competitors a perfect safe haven.
All right, my name is Nelia, and I'm a volunteer at CP2.
My name is Evelyn, and I'm as well a volunteer at CP2.
Yeah, basically we'll be sort of partly also representing the race and being the friendly faces, welcoming riders, making sure we record the time and everything perfectly well, and excited to meet loads of people.
Yeah.
Waiting for the crowd to arrive, we'll get mad.
And help them with a smile. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually one of the things, actually the last time we all met was at Dead Ends and Cake.
Mm.
And it's a really nice race because you have 5 checkpoints. It's a really short race, but they're like all these amazing volunteers. And that experience again as a rider kind of shows you how important it is to have really, you know, to have those friendly faces makes such a huge difference. It's like, oh wow, someone's here waiting for me. I think that's kind of one of the main motivations to sort of give it, you know, give back what I've received, but also to kind of, you know, actually have a closer look and see what it's like, you know, the transcontinental.
It's cool.
The big myth.
The decision to scratch or retire from the race is one of the hardest things a TCR rider has to face. Cap number 80, Adrian Nilsson, was left with no alternative after a mechanical failure.
My bike is...
Done for.
Yeah, and I spoke to a bike owner shop mechanic friend, and he was like, that's not going to be a spare part that's available.
Oh no, what's happened?
My left lever has just stopped, electronics has complete failure. And we tried, you know, with the batteries and stuff, and it doesn't answer at all.
Okay.
So this is it. This is how far I got.
Okay.
So what do I need to do? Should I write an email or you? Is it enough just telling
you?
You
can email or WhatsApp.
Race.
Yeah. Race. So then it's in writing.
Yeah, that's what
if
I.
If you have a tracker, I'm still here, so
yeah,
you
can.
Yeah,
I can go up
tracker.
And fetch that straight away.
So yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Must be really disappointing.
Yeah, I was feeling got stronger like the fourth day.
Yeah.
So it felt really good.
Yeah.
That's life. Can't.
I mean, I'm not saying you should do this, but have you thought about getting a different bike? Or, I mean, I know it's ridiculous.
No, I really wanted to race it clearly.
Right, and you've had too much time off.
Yeah, that will set me 1-2 days back, and that's not why I came here. I just came here to ride my bike.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's nice.
I'm kind of f***ed off. A lot, and I can take a lot. I can understand he's not happy with my bike because he's doing noise. It pisses me off also. But try to find solution, not just complaining. That's very shitty.
We heard from pair number 252, that's Stefan and Theo, in the pre-race podcast, when spirits were high and talk was of a harmonious balance of their individual characteristics. Now, almost halfway through the race, the picture was looking a little different.
The drama. Wow, first pair, splitting, what's happening? Well, my bike had was making some noise, and at some point, Theo wasn't pleased about that, and you started to blame me. Yeah, you know. When you start this year, you have to clean your bike and stuff like this. Man, I've been trying to find a solution about that now. Where does it come from? So I dropped oil everywhere on my bike, trying to find a solution. And he still hasn't pleased with that. Fuck this shit. At least if you ride with me, try to be proactive to find solution, not just blaming me because my bike is not shiny like I was living in Girona. I'm working as a bike messenger. This bike is not even mine. I struggle with money, you know, and every time at every shop I'm paying for him, and he doesn't ask me like, yeah, sometimes let me pay, okay, let's split. No, he said, yeah, we're going to split at the end of the race. Okay, at the end of the race, maybe I will not be able to buy a flight ticket for Paris. So
have you been singing any songs?
Sometimes I do sing some Disney songs.
Oh yeah?
So I like Aladdin.
Oh yeah?
It's the same name in English?
Aladdin.
Aladdin?
Same thing.
Yeah, sometimes I like to sing Aladdin. So Ce Rêve Bleu, Blue Dream. I don't know if it's the same tradition. Ce Rêve Bleu. Bleu, je n'y crois pas, c'est merveilleux. Pour moi, c'est fabuleux. Quand dans les cieux, nous traversons ce rêve bleu. Nous traversons ce rêve bleu. Sous le ciel de cristal, je me sens si légère. Je chavire. Dans un océan d'étoiles, refrain, ce rêve bleu, je n'y crois pas, c'est merveilleux.
C'est fabuleux, dans les cieux, nous partageons ce rêve bleu à deux.
It's not only the riders who have to overcome adversity out on the road. The race is also tough on the organisers and media crew. The journey from control point 2 to control point 4 had just begun for one of the race's support cars when progress was suddenly halted.
We need your insurance.
Adesso vediamo, arriva anche il mio capo.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to call the police.
So we were probably about 10, 15K from the bottom of the parkour. In a little town, I saw a truck before me in the road, just stationary. I assumed they were stopped for an obstacle or maybe traffic lights. So I pulled up behind to form a queue, as you do, put a handbrake on, and suddenly the truck just reversed pretty fast, straight into us. I didn't have time to hit the horn before it hit us. I hit the horn after it hit us. So it was so fast I couldn't react to it. So it crushed the front of our car because we were stationary and the handbrake was on. We weren't going to move. Got out, looked at the devastation of the front of my car. In horror, obviously, the driver got out, came and looked kind of nonplussed. Didn't look like he was going to be very helpful.
Noi lavoriamo qua. Devo piano far manovra. Stavo facendo manovra io col furgone perché lavoriamo qua.
Charlotte, our photographer, speaks quite good Italian or some Italian, so we're trying to encourage him to give us his insurance details, but he was refusing. They called the police, so then the police came and we had to follow the instructions of the police and complete the forms and everything.
Lui guidava, era fermo, ha inserito retromarcia, però voi siete arrivati.
You know, we've been talking a little bit about, you know, like, we're not racing, so we can accept help and we're not unsupported. So the community already, you know, haven't really made it public yet, but whoever knows about it is offering assistance, seeing what they can do, looking into solutions, you know, finding options. So, you know, we're going to make this public, obviously, because the car is stationary when probably people would expect it not to be, so we going to tell everyone what's happened. But you know, the big thing, the main thing, I'm going to get a bit upset, but the main thing is we're all okay. You know, it was scary yesterday, but none of us are hurt, so that's the main thing. And you know, that's what we're saying, you know, anything else we can sort out, and nothing is as important as our health and safety. So
in the next episode, we enter Eastern Europe as riders arrive at Control Point 3 in Dermator National Park, Montenegro. As the race moves eastwards, roads deteriorate, temperatures soar, and the familiarity of Western Europe starts to dissolve. In the meantime, tune in to our TCR Daily episodes to keep up to speed with the riders' progress and get reaction from our team of TCR veterans and the occasional special guest. Don't forget to send in your questions by email to race@transcontinental.cc and make sure the subject is podcast question. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at Control Point 3. This podcast is supported by our race partners, Apidura, Physique, Hutchinson, Kinesis, Komoot, LEM Helmets, and Pedaled. All the music has been created for this series by Joe Skinner.